Allie Beth Stuckey is a rising star among millennials. She's a social influencer and a conservative commentator. So many people listen to Allie Beth's relatable podcast that even the former President Donald Trump accepted an invitation to be on her show. Well, today, Allie Beth has accepted our invitation, and we're thrilled to have her. We'll get her take on being a mom in today's culture and also discuss some politics, theology, and current events. This is going to be great. So stay with us. Welcome to the Moms for America podcast. Each week, we introduce you to special guests who share their personal stories and advice on how to build a strong foundation of faith, family, and freedom in their home, community, and country. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Carlitis, your host, and this is the Moms for America podcast, a show inspiring, encouraging, and educating moms in their journey through motherhood. We want to invite you right here at the top of the show to like and subscribe to our podcast. We also want to invite you to visit our website, which is momsforamerica.us. That's momsforamerica.us. Also, if you have any information, topics, guests that you'd like us to chat with, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.us. Again, that is podcast@momsforamerica.net. Forgot to say that, but that's where you can communicate with me. I also want to invite the moms here to join our movement here at Moms for America. It's moms like us, me and you mamas. We're all uniting across the country to fight for our faith, our family, our freedom, and the Constitution. So please check us out at momsforamerica.us so we can help you on your journey and be a great resource for you. So thanks for joining me today. Well, today I am very excited to have Allie Beth Stuckey join us on today's show here at Moms for America. Allie Beth's podcast, Relatable, I'm sure you've heard of it. If you haven't, you need to check it out. It is extremely popular among the female millennials, but I'm a Gen Xer and it's very popular with myself as well and a lot of other moms that I know. Allie Beth describes herself as a wife, a mom, a podcast host, an author, commentator, and speaker. And that is a lot. But most importantly, Allie Beth is passionate about helping women build their worldview upon the truth of God's word. I love that this is her starting point. And based on the popularity of her podcast, there is a hunger for this truth in today's culture. So I am super excited to welcome this special mama here. Welcome, Allie Beth, to the Moms for America podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, great. I'm thrilled to have you. I don't think I've met you in person, but I feel like I know you in person because I listen to you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You know how that goes, right? We kind of feel like we're in everybody's house and everybody's family. Would you mind telling us a little bit about your tribe over there? And I know that you're a young mama and you have some kids.
Yes. So tribe is in my family tribe or the relatable community?
Your tribe at home, right there in your four walls.
At home. Okay. Yes. So my husband and I have been married almost 7 years. It'll be 7 years at the beginning of September. And we have a three-year-old and a one-year-old. And so as you can imagine, as moms who have been in that stage or who are in that stage right now, it's very busy. It's very fun. I am so fortunate, so blessed to be able to have a job that, yes, is busy. You mentioned a lot of the hats that I wear, but that it also is flexible to allow me to put being a mom first. And it's also why I do what I do. The same reason I'm sure why you do what you do. It's not just because we like talking about culture and politics or because we're in it for ourselves, but because we care about the next generation, because I care about them. I mean, I've cared about politics and culture for a long time before I was a mom. It was something that I was interested in from, you know, probably high school, college. But when your children are born, not only are you just kind of met with this tidal wave of love that you didn't even know was possible. I mean, you would die a thousand deaths for them. There's just this self-sacrificial transformation that happens as soon as you become a parent, but also everything that you already care about becomes that much bigger, that much more important. All of the cares and the fears that you have for yourself are then transferred onto your kids. So any concern I previously had about the future of the country, which I, you know, of course had them, I mean, they have just multiplied so much and have become so much more profound since I had kids because they're going to be here long after we're gone. So we're building something not just for the next election, not just for the next 50 years, but for the next generation. We truly are trying to forge a legacy what we're doing now. So that's a little bit about why I do what I do, and also just kind of how motherhood motivates, the mission that we're on.
It sure does. Motherhood puts you in a whole new category. And when you say mama bear and watching out for your tribe and your children and their future, it's a whole new category that it pushes us all into, and we would do anything for our kids. So congratulations on the 3 and the 1 year old. God bless you. I know that is such a busy time. So how you talked about how you've kind of been a part of this before you were a mom. How did you get involved? I'd just like to know, was this something that I know you were brought up in a great home, obviously. And this kind of came out of a little bit of your upbringing, or is this something that you just adopted yourself?
So I wouldn't say that we were in an overtly political family growing up, in that it's not like we sat around the dinner table and like read the newspaper and talked about politics, although I was pretty aware of what was going on politically from an early age. Probably the first political memory that I have, I think I was 8 years old at the Bush-Gore election. I remember wanting to stay up late until the votes got counted, and my mom had to say that the votes would be counted the next day. Lo and behold, obviously that didn't happen. But I remember that. I remember being in third grade and caring. I cared about what happened in that election. I cared about who won the election. So there has always kind of been almost an innate like passion in me for how our country works and the leadership of our country. My parents, though, instilled conservative values in me without necessarily talking about Republican versus Democrat. It's just that they themselves embodied a lot of the conservative values.
Obviously, they modeled it.
Belief in God, that our rights come from God, that we are made in his image. And so, of course, that's where I got my views on life in the womb. But also, I mean, they came from practically nothing. They came from very little means and worked really hard to try to provide a better life for my brothers and me than the one that they had growing up, the one that they had when they first got married. And so I knew through their story, and also through my grandparents' story, that hard work, that personal responsibility, that making sure that you're putting your family first and you're prioritizing worship of God, that all of these can lead to a very fulfilling and satisfying life. And the government tends to inhibit that satisfaction, not make it better. And so I would say I was just instilled with those principles growing up, and I probably didn't realize that they were political or have political consequences till high school, college, and even after that. So that's kind of how it all started. As far as how I got into media.
How did you become a number one influencer now? Isn't that great? Look what God has done.
Well, I am very thankful to the Lord for the opportunities that I have and the platform that I have. My parents would probably say it started when I was a child. I've always liked talking in front of people. I've always loved communicating. I've always loved persuading people. I thought that I wanted to become a lawyer. I ended up just majoring in communications. When I gave my college commencement speech, and when I was in front of the, or behind the podium, looking out into the crowd and giving the speech, something just clicked. I just knew I want to do this for the rest of my life. I had no idea how. I didn't know what that looked like. But really, long story short, between 2014 when I graduated college and 2018 when I started Relatable, it was a lot of providential connections and opportunities that the Lord really forged for me, and that I also worked for, doing a lot of unpaid things in order to just cultivate my skills and get in front of people. Then 2018, I started Relatable. I was speaking in front of people. In 2020, my book came out, and it's just kind of grown since I graduated from college in 2014 in a variety of ways. It would take probably an hour to tell the whole story, but that's in general.
But I love that. I love that because you recognize your talents, and you moved on it and you just pursued it. And look, I just always love to see what God has done. And you're such a great, I just love the show because you talk about so many different things. I mean, you really do cover a spectrum of topics. So I kind of wanted to ask you, how do you decide on where you're going in the show and how did you pick the term relatable? What was your objective and your mission? Because you really do. I love it because I never know what I'm going to hear and be educated on. I mean, really, it is, it's a really vast topics and I love it. So relatable, now you get the chance to do the podcast. What was your goal there?
Yes. So it started out as a once a week podcast, then two, then three, and now it's four times a week. And some people ask me, do you ever run out of things to talk about? How do you have something to talk about every day? And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much that I don't get to talk about, even though, you know, we have basically 4 hours of content a week. There's still so much that I don't get to talk about. Once you dig a little bit into what's going on, not just in the news, but the things that are not being reported on by the news, a lot of the stuff that I decided to talk about is sent to me by people who follow me on Instagram. The more people you know, the more you realize is going on. So I could have someone message me and say, like, did you know that this is going on in the military? Or, hey, my friend's mom is dealing with losing custody of her daughter who says that she is now a boy. Or have you heard the testimony of this pastor? So that is how I get a lot of the stories that I cover. And it also helps me understand, okay, this is what people are talking about. This is what people who follow me
are happening.
This is what they're concerned about. This is what they're confused over. Mm-hmm. So honestly, my Instagram messages serve as like a really great resource for me, which is also kind of why I call it relatable. When you hear the term relatable or the word relatable, people might think, oh, this is a show that talks about, you know, relationships or like her personal life or different
or
things
feelings.
Like that. Yes. And sometimes we do, but that is really, of course it's not relatable to everyone, but it is relatable to mostly women who like you and I are trying to navigate the crazy chaos and confusion of this world with the clarity of the word of God. That is what I try to do. So that's why I called it relatable, not because it's relatable to everyone, but it's relatable to a certain subset of people who are looking out our window and we're like, hang on, how the heck do I make sense of this? What am I supposed to think of this? Mm-hmm. How do I navigate this as a Christian? What does this look like? That's what this podcast is for. That's who I'm trying to be relatable to.
I love it. And you know what? We do relate to a lot of your topics. And as crazy as the stuff is that's happening in our country, so all of us are being touched by this, whether we're seeing it on social media or it's happening in our school district or it's happening in our neighborhood. This does relate to all of us. This culture is relating to all of us and it's relating to our kids, especially. You cover a lot of subject matters like we talked about. What are some of the toughest topics that you had to discuss with guests? I was kind of curious because you've interviewed a lot of folks don't get to President Trump yet. I'm going to ask you about him later. But what are the tough topics that you really kind of have a hard time working through and really hearing about?
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot. Now there are some that are just like more complex, and so when I have people on that have an expertise that does not overlap with my expertise. For example, they're talking to me about the complexities of the supply chain and like why we're having the supply chain issues that we do, or maybe they're experts in Taiwan and China foreign policy or Ukraine, Russia foreign policy. While I have a cursory understanding, a rudimentary understanding of those things, I don't know. I haven't studied all the complexities of them. So that can always, you really have to prepare more for those kind of interviews because you want to make sure that you're asking the right kind of questions. So just even thinking about like preparation difficulty wise, the more complex ones that are outside of my realm of expertise, those are harder in that sense. Now, spiritually, emotionally, the more difficult ones are, for example, talking to people who have been sucked into gender ideology. I just talked to a young woman last week who she transitioned, so-called, when she was a teenager, and very quickly after she got a double mastectomy, she was pushed into that. No one ever asked her, hey, what about the other mental health issues that you have going on? You know, you're into drugs. Like maybe this is something else. Maybe we shouldn't be giving you testosterone and
this
cutting your breasts off.
This is something bigger than your gender.
No one ever stopped her. And so she went through with it immediately after her surgery. She realized that she made a mistake. And so it was hard hearing that and knowing that a lot of young people are being sucked into that confusion. The issues and problems and confusion that they do have are not being dealt with in a healthy and proper way. Right. Now, her story was very redemptive in that she became a Christian during her detransition. And so it was an amazing right. story. But man, some of those stories from detransitioners, from parents of kids who have either been taken out of their custody or they have committed suicide because of these things. I mean, I sometimes cannot hold it together. I mean, people who right. watch my podcast know that I will be crying in some of these, in some of these interviews. So, I mean, there's just a lot of darkness out there, and having a right. job as you do too, that confronts this darkness, it even is, if right. you're pushing back against it with light. I mean, the darkness, it's overwhelming sometimes right. and it's sad and it's depressing. So yeah, it takes a lot of hope and a lot of resolve not to allow it to discourage you.
Right. And there are, like you said, there are so many tough topics and there's so many tough situations, but you know, we see these moms fighting for their kids. We see these moms fighting for America. We see these, you know, these change of heart, like you said, you know, just redemption and God's goodness. You know, we rejoice in those and we try to work through the hard situations, yeah. but you do a great job with the interviews, Allie. I've been in the industry for 30 years and I just really enjoy your approach. It's very relatable. All right. Let's talk about President Donald Trump. What was that interview? Yes. How did you get the president on your podcast?
I know. Well, let me tell you a little bit of the backstory is that it wasn't that easy. Okay. I had a producer
could be that you have got quite a few followers, but besides that,
well, you know, but you know, even so, he gets a lot of media requests, as you can imagine, every week, even after being president, a lot of people who want to talk to him and to get his take on things. And so my producer just asked his people, you know, his media liaisons, and asked them and kept on following up with them for several months, maybe a full year, before we finally got a yes. Nice. And so they agreed to 15 minutes. Oh my gosh. The morning that I was about to talk to him, there was something wrong with our tech issues. Like I think we were calling him at like 10 a.m. and at 9:59, my mic or my earpiece wasn't working. I couldn't remember. And oh my gosh, I don't get like, you know, worked up behind the scenes or like yell at anyone. So I was just like quietly praying and fuming.
Please,
I was like,
God, if this does not work.
But it did. And it was totally fine right in the nick of time. You know, it was great. President Trump is the same to everyone. It seems like he, you know, he's going to talk about what he wants to talk about. And that's fine. I like to let my interviewees talk about whatever interests them and fires them up. So yeah, it was a privilege to get to talk to him. I would say that's the, you know, I've interviewed a lot of amazing people. That's definitely the interview of the most prominent person.
Good for you. All right. Now we talked a little bit about politics here, obviously with having the president on. I'm just curious, have you ever, do you have any interest in running for politics? I know you talk about politics a lot. Just curious.
Not right now. No, I get that question a lot. And it honestly seems, it seems a lot more fun to be on this side of it, to talk about the policies. It doesn't seem to me very fun to be on the other side of it. I mean, who knows, maybe one day when my kids are out of the house, if I feel like God is calling me to that, that's obviously a long time. I can't personally imagine doing it when my kids are young. I love having the flexibility that I have, but you know, I guess you can never say never. Whatever God is going to call me to, he will, and I will respond to that call. So we'll see. It would be down the line if it happens.
Okay. I was just curious. You do such a great job. You know, it could be the first female president. All right, let's talk about
maybe that. If that's my option, if I can skip all the other stuff and just go straight to president, sure, that's fine.
I'll take it. Right. All right. What are you hearing from women who follow you? You talked a bit about your Instagram communication and different things that they're talking to you about. What are you hearing from the young women? I have a 22-year-old daughter, 24-year-old son, 18-year-old. So I've kind of got, you know, the younger generation here in my household. But what are you hearing from the young women in today's culture and some of the challenges?
Well, a lot of them right now are overwhelmed and tired with politics in the news. And I can completely relate to this, even though I talk about these things, like it's just hard for me to believe that we're in front of another election already.
I know.
And that in only 2 years, we're going to be in front of another presidential election. So I think a lot of, especially conservative women, are just tired. Like, and conservatives have the propensity, and it's a good propensity to be like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on me right here. I'm going to focus on my family. I'm going to focus on like my stuff. I'm not going to worry about what's going on in the news. I'm not going to worry about what's going on with politics. I get it. Things are bad, but I'm just going to do what I can do here. And there are some good parts of that. Of course, you want to work with what's in front of you. But I would also say that the media exhaustion is by design. Also, that they're trying to make you so oversaturated with information and so overwhelmed with everything that's going on that you just kind of sit back and say, well, I can't do anything about any of it. I'm just not going to pay attention to any of it because there's so many different things that I don't like that are going on. I'm just kind of going to bury my head in the sand. And so I see a lot of that kind of struggle among young women and young moms, right, trying to find the balance between healthy concern and realizing that politics do matter because people matter, and right, not being paranoid and anxious and constantly worked up. I mean, that's a balance that I have to strike. That's why I don't spend as much time on Twitter as I used to, but I still want to know everything that's going on because, like I said, politics matter because policy matters because people matter. And therefore, I have to care about politics because as a Christian, I'm called to care about people.
Yeah.
And so, and that's not the only way to love my neighbor, but that's a way to love my neighbor. Of course, the gender ideology that's going on, the indoctrination in schools, the vaccine mandates were a nightmare for a lot of moms, especially military wives. That's still going on right now. There's a lot of concern about inflation. Obviously, I heard from a woman who recently said that her husband has had, you know, a pretty well-paying job that has always been able to provide for their family. Now, even though he still has the same job, they're struggling to make ends meet because prices have gone up. I mean, these are just people, they're just trying to live their lives. They just want to be left alone.
Right.
They're just trying to be good citizens. Right. And yet terrible policy from the top has made it really hard for people to survive and thrive. So people are just trying to get through it right now. They're just trying to raise their kids. They're just trying to raise their families. So they're just trying to love God. And they're realizing that, as I said in the beginning, what my parents taught me, the government tends to inhibit that rather than help it.
It sure does. It creates a cycle of dependency on them. So you talked about your foundation, your biblical foundation, and you know that policy and politics plays an important part of it. I want to just talk about that real quick too, because you have such a powerful biblical worldview, right? It's very important to you. It's very foundational to you. It's a part of your show. What do you think the responsibility is as far as believers and getting involved in the culture and the political landscape? I mean, this is kind of, you know, we come from, there's a lot of evangelical women out there that just never registered, never voted. So that's one of the things we're doing at Moms for America is saying, you know, your vote is your voice. It's very important. We hear from you, moms. So just your opinion on that and what you would say to moms that maybe have not been engaged, but yet are kind of waking up and looking at the culture and saying, okay, I can make a difference at my school board. I can make a difference here in my home, but policy does matter.
Yeah. Policy absolutely matters. And I love that question. There are a lot of Christians, men and women, who think that we shouldn't be involved in politics because politics is dark, it's dirty, it's corrupt. We shouldn't be involved in the culture wars. Jesus is coming back. All that matters is that we're going to heaven one day. And look, yes and amen that we are citizens of heaven. Yes and amen that our hope is in Christ and we have no king but Jesus.
Right.
And our eyes should be set towards eternity. And that's where our peace and our hope should come from. Our hope is not in any politician or any policy or the next election. But look, we do live here in the now. We are not yet in heaven. Jesus is not yet back. Right. And therefore, we are called to be responsible citizens and to seek the welfare, not just of our families, but also the people around us. If you look at Jeremiah 29, most people know Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. A lot of people don't know the context of that verse and what's going on in Jeremiah 29. The Israelites are in exile in Babylon, and God is telling them how they are to order their lives. And one thing he says to ancient Israel, who are in exile, is to have children and to basically cultivate the world around them to seek the well-being and the welfare of their neighbor in the city where they reside in exile. Now, America is not a mirror to ancient Israel, but I do think that we can apply the same principles. We as Christians are exiles in this world. Heaven is our home. And if Israel was to seek the welfare of the city that God had placed them in exile, then I believe that Christians are too. And one way to be a good neighbor, one way to love the people around us, one way to advocate on behalf of the most vulnerable, to be a voice for the voiceless, whether it's the unborn or the children at school or the impoverished, whoever that vulnerable community is, one way to do that is to advocate politically, is to be involved policy-wise. The decisions that are made by your city council, the decisions that are made by your local school board, by your state representatives, by your state senators, those have an impact on the everyday lives of people, in particular, the most vulnerable. Like if you're thinking about the COVID policies, who did they impact the most? They impacted the people who don't have a voice, the people in the nursing homes, the small business owners, the children who were stuck at home, unable to get an education because of these draconian policies. Right. All of those things happened because at one point, the people who made the decisions were voted in. Typically.
Yes.
I mean, different Anthony Fauci, of course, he wasn't voted in, but on a local level, they were voted in by people on the other side who decided that politics mattered. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we as Christians, of course, have a bigger and better hope and peace and joy that transcends everything that happens in this life, but we are still flesh and blood right now. We are still in the here and the now. So a form of compassion, a form of love is advocacy and involvement in the political arena. Politics matter because policy matters because people matter. Politics affects policy. Policy affects people. Yeah. And I just
policy don't believe- affects families.
It affects families. It affects your kids who don't have a vote.
Right.
It matters. It matters. And I know that there's a lie that you have to vote one way or be on one side of the aisle to be empathetic or compassionate. They basically equate just telling the government to do something for someone else to compassion and to empathy. But of course, we rational, reasonable people know, again, that the government is not a replacement for the individual. It's not a replacement for the church, that the more government, the more problems that we have. That's my call to people to remain vigilant and to remain involved.
I love it. Very well said. All right. Your book. What about your book, You're Not Enough? I want to give that out here so everyone knows about it, because I think this is a great book for our young women in your age group. You're not enough, and that's okay. But you talk about love ourselves first, self-love is toxic. Can you give us a quick overview of your book so everyone knows about that as a great tool in our toolkit here?
Yes, it's called You're Not Enough, and That's Okay, Escaping the Toxic Culture of Self-Love. And the title is a little jarring, and it's meant to be jarring because we as women hear constantly, Christian or not, you're enough. You're enough as you are. You're perfect as you are. You can't love other people until you love yourself. You're a perfect goddess. And as soon as you learn to make yourself happy or put yourself first, all the other things in your life will fall into place. And that all does sound really good because truly women, all people, but I think in particular women struggle with different forms of insecurity and feelings of inadequacy. But from the Christian perspective, different lies from Satan about that we're not a good enough mom or not a good enough wife, all of these things, all of these lies that kind of make us feel bad about ourselves, inhibit our confidence, whatever it is. And so when someone comes along, when we see a meme on Instagram from a stranger that says, no, you are enough, you are sufficient, you are perfect, you're beautiful, you're great, you're all these things, we want to believe it because it feels really good. It seems like that's what we need to hear. It's not what we need to hear. It's what we want to hear. The reason we don't need to hear it is because it's not true. God did not make us sufficient. We're not sufficient for our own happiness. We're not sufficient for our own fulfillment. We're not sufficient even for the happiness or fulfillment of other people. We're not even sufficient for the happiness and fulfillment of our kids, the people who depend on us most. God actually made us fallible. He made us incomplete. He made us to depend on him.
He wants us to surrender, right? He wants us to surrender to him and not be self, right?
And most importantly, to depend on him for salvation. And so the liberating truth is that we don't have to be enough. That's a burden we were not meant to carry. If you were enough, you would not have to constantly convince yourself that you are. You wouldn't have to turn to self-help books and to random gurus on Instagram to tell you that you're perfect. You know innately that you're not. The great news is that Christ has become our perfection. He's become our sufficiency. He has become our salvation. So we do not have to carry that burden. His strength is sufficient for us. God is enough, and we are not. We are not perfect. We do not have to wait until we perfectly love ourselves to go out and love other people. And so all of this is actually really good news, because women are on this hamster wheel of trying to convince themselves that they're enough, that they're awesome. And they keep telling themselves, my life will really start when I can feel, you know, a perfect level of confidence in how I look. And you're going to be waiting forever. You're going to be running that rat race. The self cannot be the problem and the solution. The solution to the problems that we find inside of ourselves are found outside of ourselves, namely in our Creator. So that's why I wrote this book.
I love it.
It sounds like, you know, maybe bad news, but it's really, really good news.
It's freeing.
We're not enough, but God is.
It's very freeing, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like you get the monkey off of your back, because it's the truth. It is the truth. Some closing words of advice to our moms. I know I only have you for a little bit here, but to the moms that are listening, I know you're a new mom, but just maybe moms that are in your age group with young children, that kind of maybe look at the future, wondering what that looks like, and speak some hope to them, Allie, because you're seeing it from where you're at. And what would you say to those moms that are kind of maybe overwhelmed in the situation, or just wondering how they're going to combat life with their kids, because it's a scary place right now?
Yeah. So to moms who understandably feel overwhelmed, not just with being a mom, but with everything in the world, what's happening either locally or nationally. Look, someone is going to disciple your kids. Someone is going to shape the minds of your kids. Always. There's no such thing as neutrality. Your local school isn't neutral. Your preschool isn't neutral. Your church isn't neutral. There's no neutral institution. Everything is shaped and driven by a particular world view. Someone is going to indoctrinate, aka place their doctrines in your child. Is it going to be you? Is it going to be people that have your same worldview? Or is it going to be people who are diametrically opposed to your worldview? Are you going to send your kids 8 hours a day to people who hate everything that you believe in, and then hope that the couple hours that you have at night with them is going to reverse that opposing indoctrination that your kids have endured all day and all week? Or are we going to take responsibility as stewards of our children, as stewards of their heart and mind, to do everything that we can to make sure that they are instilled with the good and true values that we want them to hold dear? That is one way. Of course, we talked about being involved in politics and all of that stuff, but that is one way that you can make a big difference in the future of our country, is making sure that you are raising your kids in what is good and right and true. So when the world seems overwhelming, when you don't know how to get involved, you don't know what to do next, yes, joining Moms for America is helpful, because you can be in camaraderie with other women who are going through it too, and they can help you get connected and all of that. In addition to that, though, just do the next right thing as a mom. Just do the next right thing with excellence and joy and for the glory of God. I mean, that might just be changing diapers with joy. That might just be washing dishes with joy or cooking dinner. Your kids seeing you love them and love your husband and instill the values in them that you want to, like, that is enough in any given moment. That is part of being involved. And so just trust that we do what we can. We do what we're called to do in any given moment. We are called to cultivate and make better the spheres that we occupy, the tiny plot spot of eternity on which God has placed us. But we trust in his sovereignty. We trust in his goodness. We trust in his plan. That's why we have joy. That's why we have peace. That's why our emotions aren't ruled by our circumstances or what's on the news, because that is the transcending truth for us.
That it, what a way to close. Coming in strong. I love it, Allie. That is so true. I mean, everything really that we do in our home, we just have to really do it as an offering. I remember my brother told me this years ago, Deb, when you're changing diapers, just do it as an offering to the Lord. God's called to this. This is your ministry. Moms, this is your greatest ministry. Your home, your four walls, your kitchen table, you're hugging your kids, you're praying with them at night, and raise them up, be strong. And we do, we day by day try to encourage our moms, you know, get involved in your church and listen to the podcasts and, you know, just surround yourself with other Christ-like women that are striving, you know, for goodness in their home. And like you said, love your family, you know, love God, love family, love your country. And you're on the right path. It's not always easy and it's not always perfect. It might be a little messy actually, but it's good stuff.
Well, thank you, Allie. Yes and amen. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Allie, so much for joining me. More than ever, we need strong voices like you that are courageous and speaking out for truth and hope. Again, you can find Allie's podcast, Relatable, on Apple and all the different formats. I know she's on all the different forms of ways of getting podcasts. So go ahead and check her out. And your website there, Allie, is AllieBethStuckey.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. And so 4 days a week is the podcast.
Monday through Thursday, comes out in the afternoon. You can get my book anywhere you buy books. Hopefully at your local bookstore as well. So thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Allie. Alrighty. Well, before we close, I'd like to remind you to visit our website at momsforamerica.us to check out all of our amazing resources, events, and programs. I'd love to have you also check out our signature program, which is called the Cottage Meetings. These 12 lessons will inspire and educate you about America's amazing heritage, so you can share those principles of liberty in your home and in your community, just like Allie and I were talking about today. It is so important for you moms to have the resource that you need to raise up your children in the way that God has called you to do. This program, along with all of our other programs, are on our website to help you impact your family in a very powerful way. From parental rights to public policy, Moms for America has it all. And I want to tell you all about our Patriot Pack. This is super cool for you moms. I know I'm holding this up, and for those of you that are listening, you're going, what are you holding up? I'm holding up a red cinch sack that says Patriot Pack. So a couple of weeks ago, we just released Restoring Patriotism. Restoring Patriotism is a campaign that challenges moms all across the country to restore patriotism. We want to restore patriotism in every home across America. And we believe that patriotism begins at home, right? The liberal progressive media has said that America is no longer great, that it is no longer respectable to be a patriot. Well, we're changing that. We're flipping the script and we're not having anything to do with that, because we believe that America is great. And we believe that we have to be raising patriots. So go to our website, and right on the front there, which is momsforamerica.us, you'll see Restoring Patriotism. Go to that page and you will see all kinds of resources for moms and kids and families on how to raise patriotic children, mentorship groups, programs, all kinds of stuff that will help you raise patriotic kids that love God, love family, and love our country. But this here is our Patriot Pack. This is a cinch sack. This is $24.99, but for you, special deal, I'm going to give this to you for 25% off. So that's $20 a pack. You go to our store and you order the Patriot Pack. You put in podcast in capitals. Go to our store, put in podcast in capitals, and you can order this. So moms, this is for you to order. Open it up at the kitchen table with your kids. Go through this. Grandmas, this is for your grandkids. Order it for them. Have them open this up at their kitchen table. Let me just show you what's in here. So we have a Patriot Kid t-shirt. We have these in boys and girls. Super cute. So they get a t-shirt. They get a cinch sack. The t-shirt is navy blue. Then they also get a chance to look at our custom brand new activity book, and it's called I'm a Patriotic Kid. In here is all kinds of great things on America, our anthem, what it is to, here you are you a patriot? Take the quiz. This has all kinds of information on patriotism. It is phenomenal. When you get through with this book, your kid is a patriot. They're a patriot kid. They go through the American Creed on the back. It's just a great way of talking through America, what makes America great and why it's so wonderful to be a patriot. So again, this is all on our website, comes with crayons, comes with a flag, comes with a Constitution book. Again, special gift for you, not gift, but special for you. It's going to be 25% off, which is $5 off. So you'll be right at $20. So visit that. I just think it's a great resource for us to start talking about patriotism in our home. All right. Lastly, when you're on our website, they're ordering the Patriot Pack, sign up for our weekly newsletter. We get a chance to communicate with you every week. I'll let you know what's on the podcast, let you know about our programs, cottage meetings, groups in your area, all that fun stuff. We say this every week. We believe that liberty begins at home and that moms, you are the heartbeat of America. That's why this movement is so important. And that's why it's so powerful. It's moms like you that are going to change our country. So like it, subscribe. Ailey did a great job. I know she'll be a wonderful encouragement to other moms. So please share the podcast. And again, we will see you next week with more inspiring moms, great information that will help you as moms, journey through this thing called motherhood. So thanks for joining us. You know, I love talking with you every week. Let's keep changing our world one home at a time. And I will talk with you soon, hopefully next week. Thanks.